Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I am joined by Liz Hume Dawson, actor and youth worker. Welcome to the Divorce Club.
Thank you for asking me.
You're very welcome. So how does that feel when I say to you, you're in the Divorce Club, you're divorced?
I know. And I think one of the things at the time is you don't want to be in that club. But unfortunately, you catapulted into it. So, I think that was probably one of my issues about I probably stayed too long. Oh, I can make this work.
But how does it feel now?
It's another life. Because at the time, as we all know, it's devastating and you feel a failure and you think you don't know what people will think about you. And to a certain extent, when you are on your own, you're a bit of a leper to some of your friends, because I think they think you're going to nick their husbands or their partners. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I noticed, like, I'd be invited out with girls, but if there was any partner things, I had only one friend, my friend Nina. She used to invite me round for a meal with her and her husband, and we're still friends. And I think she invited some other people as well sometimes. And that was the only person that actually went to their house as a person on my own.
It's so weird, isn't it? Because it's like, if I was going to try and have an affair with someone, I could do that when I was in a relationship or not. And also the weird thing I think is when you break up with someone, I feel like someone else, another relationship, is the last thing you want.
My husband wanted to, obviously, current husband wanted to get married. And I said, oh, really? And he said, and he thought about it and he came back and he went, Liz, I really do want to marry you. I do want to. I said, oh, okay. Actually, this feels right. So, and I'm still married. So, and it will be 22 years in October. So,
wow.
Yeah. And we've managed lockdown. I've had dreams of stabbing him, but no, we're still together.
Well, that's good.
And he had to work from home and I had to work from home, and we've survived all that. So it must be okay.
So that's so nice to hear as well, that your current relationship has lasted so long. Because I think sometimes when you you get divorced and you think, I'm never going to have a long-term relationship again.
Yeah.
So take me back to your first marriage. So how old were you? Where were you in the world and your career?
So I was 16 when I met him.
Wow.
How shocking is that? And he was a bit older than me. He was 6 or 7 years older than me. And I don't know. I think I just got swept along with it all, and having a house. And I remember at the time we had the we were going for a mortgage, and it was when it went up to 15%, and we hadn't got enough. We had to ask each parent to help with a bit of the deposit, because when I think Margaret Thatcher was in, and the blooming rates went up, and like your house was just ridiculously your mortgage, you know. So, but my mum, I've been, because obviously since you've asked me to be on here, I had a bit of a think about it, because you do park it sometimes. And my mum, we're in the kitchen, and she just said to me, "Are you sure this is the one?" And I looked at her and I went, "Yeah, yeah." She went, "You can be walking down that aisle, Liz, and you can turn back if you don't think it's right." And I'm thinking, what do you know that I don't know? And to this day, I think you knew something. You knew something that I didn't know.
That's so funny, because my best friend the night before my wedding said to me, "I'm just calling you to double check that you definitely want to get married, because if you don't, I'm here for you. We can get on a plane and escape and I'll sort it all out. But I just want to give you that option." And at the time I was just like, "Oh, that's nice. But no, I still want to get married." But now I'm like, wow.
What did you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a sixth sense, isn't it? And I've never questioned, I mean, my mum's not here now, bless her, but I never questioned her on it. And it was just such an odd thing to say, you know, because she was a single parent, and I mean, I had a stepdad, bless her, but she brought us up really. And to say that when she put all that money into it, because she paid for the wedding and everything. And then in the marriage, 5 years before we split up, I actually told another friend on a walk, saying, "I don't know if this is working really. I don't." And that was 5 years before I actually did anything. I then carried on and carried on, because you think, "Oh, you can do this, you know." And then my mum had been divorced, so I didn't want to be that person. And do you know what I mean? And then it took me all that time to move. Do you know what I mean? I was ironing one day, and I said to him, I said, "Do you think we need marriage guidance, or do you think we need something to help us?" And he went, "It's all in your head." He said, "It's 100% in your, 99% in your head. You get your head sorted and this marriage will be right." And I went, carried on ironing.
So it was all on you?
It was all on me.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was like, let's get help. I was determined to try and do something. Do you know what I mean? But, I mean, it got to the point where I moved into the spare bedroom. We had separate lives. And then he even went and told my mum that I was behaving oddly and erratically in the marriage. But I hadn't involved my mum, you see. You don't involve anybody, because you just trying to work it out yourself. You might tell a friend. I mean, I think I'm more likely to talk to my friends now than I was then, because I've got a really good friend who was going through exactly the same as me, and we never spoke about it. Yet we saw each other in couples and things, but we never said anything. And we had exactly the same. She would have Christmases where she was opening the presents on her own, crying because he was asleep in bed or whatever. You know, moments of like, why am I doing all this? And it was so bizarre. And both of us left our husbands and went to drama school and became actresses. Both of us.
Wow.
It's bizarre. It's like, yeah, yeah. And it's just that, it's like the thing that we talk about now with my friends is like, when you're having, particularly in lockdown and stuff, when you've had like a crap day and then you speak to somebody else and they've had exactly the same day and you think, oh, right, that's fine. But I went for years and years not talking to anybody, thinking I can sort this, I can sort this. And I couldn't.
It's so funny that we're all going through similar things, but we don't open up. Like, I was the same. I didn't tell a lot of my friends sort of what was going on in my head. And I just thought, oh, this is just, you know, part of life and it'll all sort itself out, or I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
And actually it was after, you know, we split that loads of people were like, I had no idea. And obviously now I'm talking more openly about it. And so why do you think it took you 5 years?
I feel like I've been three different people. I think I was that person. I've been somebody else when I was on my own. And now I'm this other person with a daughter and a husband. And older, probably. I definitely think I can definitely pinpoint the three different changes. And you're just a different person in each section. And things build up, don't they? There was the let's go to marriage guidance. No, it's your fault. You sort it. There was that. Then I said to him, look, I'm thinking of changing my career because I had two hairdressing businesses. So I said, I think I'm changing my career. I think, I really want to pursue the acting. But what I'd like to do before is I'd like to do the A-levels and all that just to make sure that I can do the uni course, you see. So I don't know how I did this, going through a split and everything. So I did this BTEC course and I did A-levels as well. And I said, are you in support of that? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Anyway, one particular day, I used to drive over to this uni the day, and then I have to come back and maybe do clients and things like that. But I had staff as well looking after the shops, but it was really hard. But this particular one day, I came out of college and somebody nicked my car. And you know when you look at the spot where you parked it and you go, really? And then this wave of fear comes over you. Because unfortunately, I had this Ford Escort, which was black, quite low, but it was a special edition and it got like these flashes up. So I think it looked really racy. So bless them, whoever nicked it would have one hell of a shot. And I rang him up and I said, my car's been nicked, you know, and he went, so? And I went, well, I'm stranded. And he put the phone down. I was like, right, well, that's that. So I rang my stepdad. I said, Kishin, in tears. I went, somebody's nicked my car and David's put the phone down on me. It was like this big kid, you know. So anyway, bless him. He drove all the way over because it was quite a way. He drove all the way over to pick me up. And then I thought, I don't even know what happened with that, really. I think that just sort of got left. And then he started being quite erratic in the house. And I think we had one massive argument one day. And I was like, I just thought this is actually toxic, this now. But I got a load of friends together. Well, it was a friend, actually, who she galvanised me, bless her, Emma. And I did like a moonlight, but I was really fair. I just took half of everything and then got this little flat. One of my customers had a house that she rented me out and everything. And my friend went to Marks and Spencer's. She said, I've got you some Marks and Spencer's mushroom pate. And I said, oh, wow. You know, and we had that and I threw it up. That's how ill I was. So I couldn't eat mushrooms or Marks and Spencer's mushroom pate for years. I like mushrooms now, but when you're just also nervous. I mean, for me to part with food is quite a big thing, really. But anyway.
Is this after the break? So you've broken up, you moved into a separate house.
I've moved to a separate house. I've taken half of everything.
Threw up mushroom pate. Threw up. Oh, my God.
But it was so funny because one of my friends, apparently the mum must have rung for me. He answered and she said, sounds very echoey. He says, yeah, no, my furniture's missing.
My God.
And I was, do you know what was silly though? I was prepared for him to have the lot. I was just finished with the toxicity of it and everything. And it was my mum. She went, you are not walking away. You've had the business. You worked. You're not walking away. And it was her that made me obviously fight because I went round to the house and I said, right, what are we going to do? I said, I want a divorce. And he wasn't sure whether he wanted a divorce. And then he said, well, I'll blame you or you. I said, you know what? I said, just blame me, but just get on with it. I just want done. Yeah. So, of course, he started off the proceedings, but then it started like going on. And I kept ringing up my solicitor and he said, he's not doing anything. So eventually they said, you're going to have to go to court on your own. I was shaking. Said, you're going to have to go to court on your own if you want this finished. So this is after a number of years anyway. I think we hadn't been together because I then went on to drama school. So I remember going into this room and I thought it was like a proper court, but it wasn't. It was just this massive table. And there was this man sat at the other end and I was sat at this end. And he was going through, he said, so he started proceedings and he was ticking and he said, and then we can't get hold of him. And he was going through and he just sounded an absolute plonker because he hadn't done what, you know, and he went, granted. Yes. But then, of course, there was all the house to sort and everything. So it's quite true. I love it when people go, oh, divorce is too easy these days. Oh, my God. It's horrendous.
It's so true when people say, oh, it's too easy to get divorced.
Yeah.
You haven't spoken to anyone who's actually got divorced because it's... Yeah. The paperwork is just as hard as all
children.
Yeah. So how did you feel when the divorce was granted and you got the paperwork through after all of that had happened?
I think because it had gone on for so long, I think you just feel free. you're just excited about it. We went to a party, and obviously I went with my new partner, and he was there, and it was like, gosh, I've lived with you and known you intimately, and like I feel like I don't know you. It was such a, how quick we are to separate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we call that golden compass program where they have those animals, and if they take them away from them, they die. It's like that. Oh, I didn't die.
Yeah, the Philip Pullman.
Yes. You left and I didn't die. I'm
his dark materials.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting, because I was going to ask if you'd seen him again, because I don't have children. So I haven't seen my ex, you know, since we've been officially divorced. So it's kind of like, oh, I can just move on. But yeah, I think, you know, we obviously still have some mutual friends. So one day I might see him at a party. And what was that feeling originally when you, did you know you were going to see him?
Yes, I knew he'd been invited, because he did, when we'd split up, a lot of the relationships were friends that I'd made, but he started, I mean, they found it odd. He started just turning up and just sitting there, and they didn't know what to say to him and various things, you know what I mean? And what was interesting, and somebody said this to me, when we split up, I didn't say anything about him. I didn't badmouth him. I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet. And it was interesting what people said to me about him. And I was like, oh my God, did you actually like him then? Do you know what I mean? That was quite a strange. But do you know what as well? We went to Turkey one year. We went twice actually to Turkey, but the second time we went, he was really ill, really ill. He was in bed for about, I mean, we went for 2 weeks, and I'm sure he was in bed for about 7 days. I had the best time ever. And you just meet people, don't you? And because you'd started off with in couples, I mean, I kept in touch with them. I don't think I'm now, but kept in touch with these people for years. But they really took me in. There was an older couple and a younger couple who were on the honeymoon, bless them. And I had such a brilliant time. So what did that tell you? And he felt really bad. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so ill. I went, it's fine.
I'm having a great time. Well, I went on holiday on my own after I split up with my ex, and I was really scared. But in the end, yeah, I had a great time, because I think when you're on your own, people are more inclined to talk to you because they think you might be lonely. And actually, I wasn't lonely, but I just got into like loads of great conversations with people and like, you know, fun, spontaneous nights out with them and stuff.
I had, honestly, somebody said to me, when you go to Turkey, you're going to be a week on your own. I'd have gone, oh, I can't go. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. And I think sort of looking back as well, one of the other things didn't help were the in-laws. I think mum and dad had quite a lot to say. And when we'd split up, he just said, every time I used to go to my mum, you know, I used to get it in the earful about you. And I went, oh, right, okay. So that was really difficult. But at least his older brother, who is split up now, actually, and I'm still friends with my ex sister-in-law. We're like really good mates. I love her to bits. And she got banned from the house. So at least I was never banned. So wow. I found that quite an achievement.
Yeah, because that's an interesting one, because obviously when you're with someone and married or just in a long-term relationship, you really get to know their family and build those connections. So how did you manage to stay really good friends with your sister-in-law? Was there a period where you didn't talk initially?
No, we were, she wasn't related to them. She was only related to them from marriage.
Two
brothers, yeah. So she's since married again and very happily married. And we've just, I think we were like buddies because we'd both been through this like family relationship where mum wore the pants anyway. So it was very difficult. You know, you sat there and you didn't know if you were saying anything right or whatever. But yeah, my sister-in-law was still, I mean, we just messaged each other yesterday, still really good mates. And it was almost like hanging on to each other, really, just like from, you know, what we'd been through, I think, really. But I have various conversations with people, and I've had a conversation with somebody this week, and we're saying, we think that we were going to find our soulmate, don't we? I think our soulmate is out there, but you might always meet them. And I think we've got this obviously watching television programs. I mean, I love a rom-com, you know what I mean? And I love it to end happily. But actually, life's not always like that, is it? It's really difficult. So, you know, if you do find your soulmate, wow, you know, well done. And I do think, yeah, there has to be give and take. But, I mean, I'm still quite gobby. So Matthew has quite a lot to put up with, as he is as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously, being actors, we both love watching films and TV. Yeah. And yeah, I love a good rom-com with a happy ending. And that's sort of how you learn, like, that's what's meant to happen. And then you get married. And also, the rom-com always ends at the marriage. It never shows you married life. But yeah, I guess I sort of believe we have a few soulmates that are, yeah, like, sort of different, slightly different paths almost.
Yeah.
So you might not meet all of them, but you, yeah, might meet a few of them, and, yeah, you might, you know.
I mean, do you think you've changed? Because I definitely think I've had three different types of people that I've been. Do you know what I mean? So
I think I changed in my marriage, but I think I moved further away from me in my marriage. I think I was trying to be, and it was nothing to do with him, it's like my own thing, but I was trying to be like a wife and like the perfect wife and look after the house and all these things that I'm just not good at, and it's just not me. You know, like, I'm a creative person, I love my, yeah, job, and I love talking to people, and I'm, you know, I'm, yeah, gobby, like you said, and all of that, and funny, and like, that's, I think I had a really strong sense of self before I went into that relationship that then turned into a marriage. Right. And I think I really lost that. So, right, rather than being a different person, I think I almost like lost my way. Mm. And now I feel so much more back to me and like connected, yeah, to who I am. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know, it's a funny old world, isn't it? We're very much now into all mindfulness and be kind and all that. And actually, we're not even kind to ourselves, are we, sometimes? So that, you know, you can do all these lovely things for people and then you're actually horrible to yourself.
I think getting divorced has taught me to be nicer to myself because, you know, I felt like the world was being horrible to me with everything that, you know, because my dad died around the same time.
I remember stuff. I do remember that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I've definitely, and I think also weirdly getting divorced has made me kinder to other people.
Yeah.
Because I think when you go through something like incredibly hard, you sort of realize that a tiny drop of kindness that people have shown you made such a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not noticing at the time that somebody's not invited me to the house or whatever, but afterwards, looking back, I just thought, oh my goodness. Yeah. I had that friend who, you know, would invite me for a meal and just, you know, including me, because you are lost. And then everybody else is thinking, oh, they're lost, let's leave them. You know what I mean? It's like you pushed further down this road that you don't want to go. So it is nice. And I mean, I would never think of not inviting anybody just because they're single. What is that about?
I think about inviting them more, yeah, if they're single.
Yeah. So, but yes, you were definitely... Well, I was definitely not invited, but I'm not even this man eater. So I don't know why they were subconsciously thinking that or what. I don't know. But I do remember thinking, wow, I feel like a leper.
Well, what I found as well is, I don't know if you get this, but since I've got divorced, lots of people who are in relationships that they're maybe not happy in sort of either avoid me because they think that like divorce is catching. Or they're like very defensive about their relationships when I'm not even trying to talk to them about, yes, their relationship. Yeah. Have you found that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They probably wouldn't open up as much to you because if they show a crack, which we all have them, come on, it's like, you know, you all have your moments. It's like, oh, there's something not right with that marriage. But if you're, I mean, and the thing is, we have to be careful, don't we, that if your marriage isn't right and you're happy with that, well, that's fine. I wasn't prepared, I wanted more. I just thought it should be more. And also for me to be, you know, I'd get up on a Sunday and I'd, because I'm always like a bit sad sorting out meals. I'd get all the meals ready for the week and I'd be cutting the front lawn and I'd be doing this and doing that. And then he'd wander down in the afternoon. I'd go, afternoon, you know, and then I once remember saying, do you want to dust? I don't dust. I said, oh, I wish I could say that. I don't dust. I'll never forget that.
Well, I don't dust either.
Just got that.
But it just means my house is dusty. It's my decision not to dust.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So how did you cope at that time? Because obviously you'd been unhappy for 5 years. You move out into this new house. You take half of the furniture. And how was that? Like, what were you feeling?
So I basically had some really good friends over in Leeds that I used to go over and stay with. And it would be... This is horrific. It had been one of my friends, Hindus in York. No, was it in York? I can't even remember where it was. And we went out and I got, I think, when looking back now, this was obviously some sort of against it. I got absolutely rat-assed on cider, of which I have never drunk since that day, because I couldn't even put it near my mouth. Even though there's all these lovely fruit ciders, no, they're not coming near me. So
I love that you don't eat mushroom pate or drink cider now because of your divorce.
So we went into this restaurant and my friend said that you bounced off every wall in the restaurant and everybody could see. And she said, I had to take you out because you would look like you were going to throw up. And we're in the taxi. She says, you're just being sick down the front. It's just coming out. And the taxi driver says, is she being sick? My friend Jane went, no. So we went back to my friend's house and he brought his, it was a couple, Chris and Joy, he brought his kids to see me on the toilet. He said, this is what you shouldn't do and this is what you'll end up looking like if you drink, which I thought was hilarious. They also did, thank God. They're probably scarred. But anyway, so... We got up in the morning and I was still being sick. So Jane had to drive my car. She worked for me anyway. So she drove my car back and I went into work and I did the first client and I went, Jane, I can't stand. She says, Liz, go home. So I went home and I'd been asleep for God knows how many hours and the phone rang and I picked it up and they went, hello, I'd just like to say that you've been offered a place at drama school. Thank you.
You just put the phone down.
Thank you. I couldn't cope. So basically, I then moved to Manchester because I went to Capitol Theatre for 3 years with this ongoing divorce and a dog called Bramble. There's not many people that go to drama school with a dog. She used to come in with me and sit with the receptionist at the door for me. Everybody was so lovely and looked after me with this dog. I was in a friend is now a very good friend, but he was on the course as well, and him and another girl had bought this house and they were renting rooms. So I was in the what would be the dining room because it had patio doors for the dog to go out. But I'd suddenly gone from this four-bedroomed ensuite detached house in the country looking over fields to this house in Withington in the dining room. And I just used to cry every night, just thinking, what are you doing, Liz? What are you doing with your life? You know, I didn't ring anybody. I didn't say anybody. But I would think for the first, I mean, I went as a mature student, obviously, but I would think at least for the first term, I think I used to cry most nights. And then, of course, when everybody went home, I had no house back at home. So my stepdad's cousin had a flat and they were abroad. So sometimes I'd stay there. I've even stayed in a friend's who was selling an empty house on a Lilo in the lounge, stayed on the lounge floor with the dog because I was coming home for Christmas. And my mum didn't have room. They just had a bungalow. So they didn't have room for me. The second year, at the end of the second year, I went home in the summer and again, I could stay in this flat and I did my dissertation and I came back with my dissertation done. I'd done it in the summer. And then the third year, something must have just clicked and that's when I started enjoying myself a bit more and going out and partying and they were like, oh my God, Liz is out. I was like, yeah. And then we go to these clubs in Manchester. I think it was the Night and Day Cafe. And they were playing this music and I was singing to it. And they went, oh, you know the words? I went, yeah, I knew them the first time round. I then my social life picked up. I had a ball. I had a few different boyfriends. And it was a good, I think I was sort of cleansed then and ready to get on with life and, you know, and start living again, really.
But it sounds like it was, yeah, definitely cleansing for you. But it must have been weird not to have like a fixed home.
It was quite, you know, when you live in it and then afterwards I looked back and went, what were you doing? What were you doing? And I did the divorce, even though we were divorced, he was trying to sell the house, although he didn't end up selling it. He's in it now. I think he's still in it. I don't know. It was like, it was just looking back on it. When you're in it, you don't see it, do you? And you just do it. And there's the sad bits and the happy bits and the bits, whatever. But then looking back, I think, bloody hell, Liz, you should write a book. This is ridiculous. You know, about sort of my journey to get where I am now. And you know, I know people see like a really confident person and like, I know what I want and yes, I'm bossy and da, da, da. But it wasn't always like that. And like you say, you realise who you are and you don't take the crap. And the friends that I've got are like jewels to me. I'm so, you know, I'm so blessed to have them. And during lockdown, they've been amazing. We've had Zooms and if we could walk, it's like, right, let's get out. We could walk, you know, and stuff like that. We're planning like, you know, things to do and everything. So I feel really lucky. I do feel really lucky how things have gone. My daughter, I mean, she's 21 this year. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I was an older mum anyway. So we went straight in to try and have a family, obviously. But I didn't want kids with him. They were never on, didn't like children. That's awful, isn't it? I work with children. I love kids, but I didn't want to have. I'm not great with littlies.
Someone said that before, actually, that with their first husband, they didn't want children at all. Yeah. And then with their second husband, they had children straight away.
Yeah.
And do you remember a hardest time during those sort of uni divorce years?
I think the hardest time is who calls time, because you can go down the route of having an affair and then you just leave, can't you? Or you can leave. And I think it's that this person you thought you loved, and you did probably love up to a certain point, it's that, as I say, I told my friend 5 years before I actually went. And then, you know, I tried to say, this isn't working. We then moved into separate bedrooms. We were still then in the house. And I'm thinking, he's not going anywhere. It's going to have to be me. And yes, it was. I just thought, right, no, I've got to just... Because I think he'll have just modelled on forever, just like that. And I just thought, there's more to life. There's more on my... I could have more fun on my own. There's, you know, not cleaning up your crap. Clean my own crap up if I want to, or not. Do you know what I mean? So I had this little house. It had one room downstairs with a table in where I could do my work for uni. And then it had do they call it a galley kitchen? And then it had a toilet upstairs and then one big bedroom. That's all. It's tiny. But it was near my work, which was good. And then my dog, obviously. I got this poor Bramble who went everywhere with me.
It's funny because lots of people talk about how pets really got them through those times. Because, like, my two cats, one of them's passed away now, but, like, just having, like, another breathing thing there.
Yeah. She heard everything and sobbed to her and everything. She lived to be 19.
Wow.
And I think, I could get upset actually now thinking about it, but when, obviously, we lost her, I think that was quite a hard time for me because she was such a part of my chrysalis life into a butterfly. Well, some people wouldn't say a butterfly, but whatever. Do you know what I mean? So there's little subtle changes, isn't there? I would say the making the decision, if it is you, to go, and then that new life somewhere else in another town, far away. So, you know, let's... You know, I'm going through this crap time and then decide to move over to Manchester and be with all these young, free young people who think the world's lovely. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? So you're looking back, it's quite bizarre going over it because obviously I don't think about it too much now. And obviously when I met my partner, he had a divorce as well. So we obviously thrashed out that a bit about what we'd got, what we wanted, maybe what we'd gone through and all that. Do you know what I mean? But I because I'm such a strong person, I have to have people who step up because I end up being the champion all the time and then I get knackered with it and then I get cross with you because can you just have some balls and step up yourself? Do you know what I mean? So when he said to me, I have all that from my mum every time I go. And I said, well, why didn't you ever say anything to her? Say either shut up or... Because I know Matthew would. He'd say, shut up, or he'd say something now. You know what I mean? And he's got my back 100%. I know that. So it's just that knowing what you want. And oh God, I mean, you do try to change people. Like I said, can you not stack the dishwasher like that, please? And you do. But really, you don't actually want to change them because that's what you were drawn to, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's amazing how the kind of you deciding to leave was then like the catalyst for you training to be an actor. And obviously we met on an acting job doing Sunny D.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice that something amazing has come from kind of that difficult period of time. And so you said at the beginning that your current husband wanted to get married and you weren't so keen. What do you think was holding you back?
I just thought it was going through that divorce thing again, if that was to happen, because you can live together. I know it's just as complicated when you're living together and break up, but it's that whole blooming official paper thing. And so that was such a bizarre thing of me having to then go and sort it out and he just left it and all that. Do you know what I mean? And I was just like, what does that piece of paper say? If you're together, do you have to have it? Do you know what I mean? It was that sort of thing. He had to work really hard to persuade me. And bless him, he's a Sunday school teacher. And he was like, I don't think I can live like that. I just believe in marriage. And I was like, oh, my God, okay. It's all fine.
Was there anything you put in place, obviously having been through that difficult situation when you got married again?
We just went into it. Isn't that bizarre? You think you'd have, you would, wouldn't you? But no, we didn't. Because I did know, and we were quite, it was quite a whirlwind relation. We knew, I think, quite early on that we were matched and everything. We had a relationship up and down the M6. So he lived in the north in Manchester, and I lived in Birmingham, as I say, in Downs. And we were just up and down that motorway. And if that can survive, I think he got one of my friends to sing about, not Route 66, but something like that at the wedding, because it had been, you know, up and down the motorway, whatever.
When you first said you had a relationship up and down the M6, I thought it was a euphemism. I was like, are you calling this thing the M6? No. The actual M6.
Actual travelling up and down, the mileage.
I mean, looking back now, do you have any advice if someone's listening and they can, like, really relate to your story and what you went through and they're still in that bit?
Talk. Better if you can talk to a relation, maybe not your mum, but your sister or somebody like that, or your brother even, whatever. But just talk to somebody. And if you know of somebody who's been through it, just talk to them as well. There's a sense, like the divorce club thing, there's a sense of loneliness because you're on this path, you're not talking to anybody. You can, your mind at night, when you like come out of your sleep, you can think up all sorts of scenarios that are ridiculous and far-fetched and mean ridiculous things to you, but they're worrying and your stomach, you know, you've got like knot in the pit of your stomach. I mean, God forbid, if it, touch wood, if it ever happened to me now, I definitely think I'd speak to somebody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And that's kind of the point of this podcast, really, is to kind of, because I didn't know anyone else who was going through divorce. So I was like, I'm going to use a podcast as an excuse to message people. And actually now we've got a Patreon, which is where people can join to support the podcast. And I've created a little chat room in there. Oh, and wow. It's so nice. It's like a divorce chat room. And because there's a, you know, it's like £2 a month to join the Patreon. It means that trolls aren't on there, like they're on social media. So we can all just talk. And it's really nice to see everyone like sharing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. This has been so great and nice to chat. Where can people find you and follow you online?
Well, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please, please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also, it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Please leave a review. Love you forever.